Welcome to the Book Chooks, where we talk about books with your host, Librarian Selena.
I love reading books, it's fun. I often read them with my mum. I like reading to explore. There's no better way, I'm sure. I love reading.
Right here on Planet 104.6 FM. Stay tuned for the next half hour as we find more great books to read. Good evening, readers and listeners. Tonight, our guest author is Tom O'Neill. He's back with us to share about The Job Hunt. He's written a book that's very practical and helped job seekers put their best foot forward called You're Hired, The Essential Guide to Job Hunting and Personal Branding. So welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Great. Now, a few shows back, the Book Chooks were trying to find books to help us find jobs because, well, we were kind of unemployed and we couldn't come up with anything. Well, we had a look in the library and we found some books that we thought could help us. And one I found was called Leverage Your Laziness. And the one Karen found was called Tarot Spells. Why Tarot Spells? Because it had like a spell in it on how to, you know, do a spell to get a job.
Wow.
And I thought, no. So we were kind of out of luck at the library. But the thing is, now I have found your book. And it's great, it's wonderful.
Thank you.
And it's useful and it's practical and it's awesome. For New Zealanders,
yeah.
And it's not crazy.
Yeah, there's no tarot spells at the back.
Yeah, it's easy to understand and yeah, it's clear about what's required. And because you have a background in recruitment, you have the insider knowledge. So I would definitely recommend any readers and listeners out there who are job seeking, job hunting, that this is the book to help you in your search. So yeah, the Essential Guide to Job Hunting, Personal Branding, You're Hired. Now, Tom, can you tell us a bit more about this book, or maybe read the blurb or something?
Yeah, cool. Well, basically, You're Hired is around two main concepts. Yep. It's actually, the first book I ever wrote was called Selling Yourself to Employers. Mm. So that was just purely job hunting, about really selling yourself, marketing yourself professionally, and helping you pull out your achievements. Yep. So that book got published in New Zealand, Australia and England, which was very cool. I was very excited about that. But then my publisher came to me and said, well, you know, is there time for an update? So about 4 or 5 years later. And funnily enough, I'd been thinking a lot around the concept of personal branding.
Mm-hmm.
And in that concept, historically, it's been, you know, go and get a job. Thanks very much. Well, in actual fact, if we think about it in terms of our brand, that we have a brand. Whether we know it or not, we have a brand to our employer, we have a brand to our industry, we have a brand to our mum and dad, we have a brand to our friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I say the word Apple, you know, in terms of technology, you know, you know, you may think, you know, innovative, you may think up-to-date, you may think overpriced.
Yeah.
If I say Toyota, you may think rugged, reliable, whatever it is.
My car.
Absolutely, yeah. You know. And exactly, and each time there's a brand or a logo, it says something about that. And the same sort of thing with us, you know, the word Tom, the name Tom O'Neill,
right.
Hopefully, to many people, will mean innovative, wise, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Except to my kids. There we go. He's just dead.
He's dead.
But this is the concept, that it's really about thinking long-term about your brand and where you want your brand to be. Most people don't think about where they want to go. They just think about their next job to fall into.
Right.
They kind of, through their career, fall up the ladder. They have a job and then get a slightly better job and a few years later, slightly better job and a few years later, hopefully slightly. You know, and that's great. But there's no, you know, where do I want to be in 10 years? Career-wise.
Yeah.
And so no strategy. So this sort of bridges the gap between pure just job hunting, how to write a CV, how to do a cover letter, how to, and it's got templates and tools you can download as part of this.
Yep.
But then also bridges the gap with that more strategic side of who you are. But again, I've tried to write in a way that makes it easy.
I found that very... I think, clear of the first steps. Yeah, finding your a job that you enjoy, that is you, that's not like something you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then developing yourself as a person that does not just that job, but is good at, well, I suppose an expert or has the strengths in all these areas that make you unique.
Well,
I
see, I look at you, for example, here. Here you are running your own radio show. I mean, that's just awesome. You know, this is part of your brand. And so when you go to market, you know, into the employment market, this would become, I would suggest, part of your core message. You know, so suddenly imagine you're an HR person and you've got two people that look really good for the role of head librarian, or let's say, for example,
mm-hmm.
you've got one who's got, you know, 8 years' experience and worked for some really great organisations, and maybe yourself, maybe you've got 6 years' experience, just saying.
Yeah.
But you've got your own show. Suddenly, there's that more passion, there's that more drive. They can go on live right now and listen to you talking about your passion for books, whatever it is, you know? And again, it's just leveraging that little bit more than everyone else brings. You know, to do what you do, to do this, put this show together, takes time, takes money, all these things. But again, it's a quantifiable example of your passion for your industry. That's something you sell to an employer.
Oh, thanks, Tom. I just didn't think of it that way. I was like, yeah, I do this book show. But, I think a lot of people don't realise the things they do outside of work make them who they are and shows them who they are to potential employers.
Mm, absolutely.
And they don't really pull that into their, I suppose, CV to show that.
Yeah, well, because at the end of the day, you, and hate saying like this, but you're a product. You know, to an employer, you are a product. Mm. You're a resource to do a job. It's why they call it the human resources department.
Yes.
So they want to get the best resource they can for the money available.
Yeah.
Now, if you fit that money available sort of area and you are seen as the best resource, i.e. the most qualified, the most experienced, or have your own radio show, you know, that massively influences their decision of you and their perception of you.
Oh, you'd hope so, because I don't know about the other fields of employment, but my field as a librarian is quite difficult at the moment. This article that a BookChops reader sent me was only recently in the Herald, and it's quite sad because it's called Struggle Behind the Bookcases. It's an opinion piece by the woman who read Auckland, Janet McAllister. I think she went round to all the public libraries in Auckland. There's about 55 of them. And visited them all and wrote about them for the paper. And so she's exploring the next chapter in the future of Auckland libraries. Now, I was employed in public libraries for many years. And the sad thing with public libraries is, well, I think it's public knowledge these days that they're cutting staff.
Mm-hmm.
And because of, I think, government budgets, and I don't know, I think Auckland Council has a lot of budget for some things and not so much for others.
Yeah, for others, yeah.
And librarians, well, public librarians are employed by the government. That's where they get their funding and money from, and unfortunately they've decided the librarians aren't really worth having on board anymore. Well, most. I'll just give you a bit of statistics. This month it was officially announced that by July, the number of full and part-time jobs at the library will be 926. It was 1,100 less than a year ago. So the cuts represent a headcount loss of about 174 or 15%. Thus far, no redundancies have been forced, but it's decimation plus.
Yeah. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What do you do if you're the field that you trained in doesn't no longer want?
Well, it is interesting. One of my very best mates, he... it's about, again, your brand and how you... Because there'll always be a job, hopefully, for librarians.
I mean, I hope
there's 900 left. So, I mean, I suppose from my perspective, we'd be focusing more on the, hey, there's 900 opportunities rather than 150 have been cut. And it's really, I suppose, to some degree, your state of mind and how you focus that around your brand. Case in point, one of my very best mates, Adrian, he was a colour stripper. When he started his career and got trade certificate in colour stripping.
Yeah.
And then suddenly desktop production came along and his whole trade vaporised, disappeared overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you're qualified as a builder and then suddenly a machine is created that instantly creates a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like that to his entire trade, vaporised.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to totally... And so he went from, you know, 500... people in New Zealand to zero.
Mm.
You know, I mean, so even more than Liberians,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so he had to suddenly rebrand and rethink, who am I?
Yeah.
Where am I going? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
He was really successful. He basically got on board with the whole industry and retrained and got into it in the desktop you know, design side.
Right.
But again, you know, for let's say a Liberian, let's say someone like yourself,
yeah,
it's really the strategic approach you take,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
And it's you, I mean, for someone like you, I mean, I think you, I'd suggest you're probably even in a better place than most Liberians because of the show. You know, it's a quantifiable demonstration of your brand.
Okay.
You know, you can put links up and so on. And so imagine, again, if you were going to employ someone and you had five people and one of them had their own show that they can click and listen to, it actually creates value and perceived value because they're a participant in the reading and writing industry. They're not an administrator at the back shuffling around books.
Yeah, I still think of myself as a librarian, even though I'm not employed at a, you know, officially library. But, yeah, that's the whole mindset, I think.
Absolutely.
And perspective of, yeah, what you do and who you are. That's a good thing to, get in perspective. And I think that book really does help people see that, you know, don't get discouraged. I mean... these things happen, but you're still you, right?
Absolutely. And this is the thing. Everyone, I'm convinced, everyone has got achievements. Everyone has got things they can sell and market, but it's finding out what those are. Let's say I had a young woman phoned me a few years ago in tears on the phone. I own a business, cv.co.nz, we write professional CVs for people around the world. And she phoned out in tears going, I handed him a notice. Never spoken to before in my life. Phoned up and said, I've just handed him a notice to my boss. And he screwed it up, threw it in the bin and laughed at me.
Oh.
And I said, what? And she was working as an administrator at a petrol station.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, well, let's try and talk you through this. And I said to her, so do you have any achievements? And, of course, through the tears, no, I've got no achievements. Poor thing. And my heart broke for her. And I said, okay, well, have you set up any systems? You know, just trying to think of some achievements.
Yeah.
And this is what my book talks about.
Yeah.
And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, what have you set up? She says, I set up MYOB. And I said, what? You set up the accounting system. And she said, in the business, in the gas station. She said, oh, no, all the gas stations. I said, what? So she said, oh, no, I set it up across all five of his gas stations around Auckland. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And suddenly she goes, oh, yeah. And then I said, do you do any cash handling? And she goes, oh, just a little. I said, not very often. I said, well, how often? She said, oh, 3 days a week I'll take money to the bank. Well, how much do you take? $60,000. And I'm like, that's trust.
Yeah.
That is a quantifiable amount that shows trust.
Mm.
How many people do you trust with 60 grand of your money?
Mm.
You know? I mean, flip.
3 days a week.
You know, and so, you know, she's... Honestly, it was amazing. And suddenly she saw her value. She started to understand that she wasn't this minimum wage slave.
Yeah.
Being effectively emotionally abused by her boss.
Yeah.
She was this vibrant young woman who had a lot to bring and a lot to offer to potential employers.
Yeah.
I mean, how many small to medium-sized enterprises out there would love a person to come in and sort out all their MYOB and accounting issues?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, flip an egg. And so it was helping people like that.
Yeah. That's wonderful, Tom. Well, we'll take a break right there. We're going to listen to Dolly Parton sing about 9 to 5.
9 to 5.
And we'll be back after the break.
bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you have it. 9 to 5. For service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. They let you dream just to watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder. But you got dreams he'll never take away. With a lot of your friends waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They must use your mind and you never get the credit. It's enough to drive you crazy in your life. 9 to 5. Yeah, they got you where they want.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Book Chooks on Planet 104.6 FM in Auckland, New Zealand. If you missed the first half of our show, you can download and listen to us online at planetaudio.org.nz/bookchooks.
Also, check out our Goodreads group. The link is on the website, where you'll find the list of what we're reading on the bookshelf.
Hey, Tom. Well, just listening to Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, and she's singing about one day your ship will come in.
Yeah.
So tell me about when your ship came in.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I, as I said, created a tool called the Achievements Questionnaire that people can help to pull out their achievements and sell them. And I grew up, my mum is New Zealand's longest serving recruitment consultant, Gaynor O'Neill, and we always had a copy of a book called What Colour Is Your Parachute floating around the house. It's the world's number one best-selling career guide. Yeah. And it's updated every year and all that stuff. And growing up with it sort of next to sort of the Bible, and then this was sort of number two book in the house.
Yes.
And it was interesting because I thought, man, I'd love to get published in that one day, you know. But what hope does a, you know, Kiwi in the middle of nowhere, you know, in the whole international career world, had a chance.
Mm.
Anyway, so I designed this tool in 2006. I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. Give it a go. So hunted round and his email was in the book. I'm like, flipping heck, all right. So emailed him.
Yep.
Just, you know, very nice email. I'd spent probably half a day crafting the email itself.
Yeah.
Just to try and get the tone right and so on. I sent it away and, please, Lord. And I heard nothing.
Oh.
And so I thought, well, obviously he didn't get it, so I'll give it another crack. So yeah. I emailed it again the next month, and again, very respectful, very nicely, but just emailed him again, and nothing.
Oh.
So I thought, all right, well, I'll keep going till either he says no or phones the police, and said again, and nothing, and again, and emailed him 9 times over 11 months. It always very professionally, very nicely. But I just kept going.
Mm.
And lo and behold, I get an email back. You know, I was on the phone to a client. And I forget one day and just doing what I'm doing. And this thing pops up, Richard Bowles.
Yes.
And that's the author.
The author of What Colour Is Your Parachute?
I'm like, what? So double click, and he's like, hey, Tom, thanks so much for your mini emails. Yeah, would love you to be in the book. I couldn't believe. I'm like, hey? What? Hey?
Yeah.
And so now I've been, actually one of the world's largest contributors to the Guide. I've been in there now for a decade.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's I've been translated into 13 languages or something now. I mean, it's just crazy. All through just pig-headedly pushing.
Yes.
But respectfully doing it. And I suppose I know for myself, in terms of media and marketing, all that stuff, a yes is a yes, a no is a no, and you respect both of those.
Mm.
But no answer is not a no. No answer to me is a maybe.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got a no yet.
Yes.
And the amount of times I've found is that you just keep respectfully pushing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time you just, Woody Allen has a great quote, 80% of success in life is showing up.
Mm.
You know, and most people don't show up.
Yeah.
And if you just keep showing up, sooner or later you're going to get a yes or no.
Yeah.
And if you get a yes, it'll change your life.
Yeah. That's a great story, Carl. I hope that it encourages listeners who are kind of feeling a bit, I've been applying and nothing.
Oh, and it is heartbreaking. Nothing will destroy your self-esteem more than a really long-term job hunt.
Mm.
And unfortunately, the whole process is designed to make it hard. You know, you have 100 people apply for one job. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully some people take some tips from a book and really apply them.
Yeah, so keep pushing, guys. Other things in your book that I found will help. Maybe you get an interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like, how to, you know, some questions that they might ask you, and then also maybe some suggestions of questions you could ask them, because it's not always one way.
It's got to be two-way,
interviews.
Yeah.
So that's really what I learned from many interviews. Yeah, you've got to... interviews are nerve-wracking, but... you've got to have some input too. It's not all like interrogating you. You've got to find out about the other side.
Absolutely. And nothing is more disappointing for an interviewer than when you say to someone, you got something you really like, the interview's going really well, they've answered the questions awesomely, you really like them, you love their experience, then you look at them and say, do you have any questions? And on the inside you're thinking, man, they're going to come with some really good questions, some real insight. They're going to show and demonstrate their interest in the job, their interest in the industry.
Yeah.
And then they say, no. And you're like, oh. And it's so disappointing.
Yeah, for a... employer, they want to know you're interested.
They want to know you're interested.
Yeah. So if you just say no, I don't think they'll give you a...
Well, it just says you just want the job for the money. Long story short, no employer in their right mind wants someone just to work for the money. They want them to work, you know, obviously money's important, but also the industry or the job or the people, whatever it is, the challenge.
Yeah.
And when a person just says, no, I don't have any questions, it's effectively saying, I'm not really interested, just give me the job and I'll stay around for as long as I'm interested.
I think some people would like to have the money and not have to do the job, you know.
Oh, yeah. Met a few of those in my time.
And another thing I got from your book, which was quite funny, some of the mistakes people make, they have these terrible email addresses that will just put off any potential employer. I can't really... Well, some of them are...
Life is a nightmare. at blahblahblah.com.
Depressed angel.
Depressed angel. I love this one. Who's gonna hire someone with cruel to da bone at blahblah.com? You know? I mean, dude. And this is the problem. I was speaking at a recruitment consultancy just recently, and I just sort of had a slide with this up, and you know, all of them laughed and said, you know, exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, that they'll find someone they think they're really good. They're about to give them a bell, bring them in for an interview, and then they say, "Life is a nightmare" at blahblah.org, and you know, and they're like, "Nah, absolutely no way."
Email address? No. Put your name uplifting...
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's an extension of your brand.
Yeah.
Another really important one is your voicemail.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, you know, a recruiter will, you know, think, oh, this person looks great, looks excellent.
Yeah.
And then they phone your mobile to bring you in for an interview, and suddenly, you know, ring, beep. Yeah, g'day, it's Gazza. I'm drunk right now. Leave a message after the tone. Beep, you know. Yeah. And you're like, dude, no. Because, again, it's extension of that brand, extension of who you are, an extension of who you're going to be in the workspace.
I think people, if you have a Facebook account, and lots of people do these days, and you're putting things like you're drunk at a party all the time, say, employers can see that.
They're not dumb.
Well,
I call it the online tattoo. Yeah. You put something out there, chances are it's going to stay. Good, a friend of mine whose daughter is 18, and he said we're writing her CV one day, and he happened to be there, and he said, oh, I'll Google her. And so I Googled her, and great news, she was numbers 1, 2, and 3 on Google.
Right.
Bad news, it was If the Haters and I Hate You and la, 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 la. And you're like, no. And his face went through the floor. Because employers are going to Google your name, and if that's what comes up, what are they going to do? They're not going to go, oh, great, she's not afraid to say what she thinks. They're going to go, no, run.
And I think also because... you know, you might have the same name as someone else, and if someone else is, like, doing horrible things and people get mixed up with that, think of, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, my wife has got that and to a degree and with her name. And, it can be a little tricky. But if it is really, really bad, I mean, I know I'm Tom O'Neill, but if there was another Tom O'Neill out there causing ruckus, I could rebrand myself Thomas O'Neill or Tommy O'Neill sort of thing.
I'm not that guy. I don't have a criminal
conviction. Yeah, that's right.
So you've got like Facebook, LinkedIn, and other things on there that could help you in your job hunt. Now another thing, Tom, that I like from your book, right at the appendix is a very professional CV for a home executive. Both working and non-working. tell us about that.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Lisa, a colleague, she works alongside us at cv.co.nz, and she, just for a bit of fun one day, she wrote a job description for a home executive because she was sick and tired of, you know, just sort of getting all, doing all the stuff and not necessarily thinking what it entailed. These days there's both men and women at home doing this stuff, and when you look at it, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Maintain a clean, healthy, attractive, stimulating, warm environment to a high standard. Manage the enterprise's emotional, both individual and corporate, needs and requirements. Balance team members' desire for independence and space with reassurance and support. You know, I mean, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it actually, you know,
Well, think of the qualifications. Here it says at least diploma level qualified in psychology, finance, English, mathematics, geography, logistics, beauty, education, hospitality, mechanical engineering, nursing and IT.
and this is the thing. I mean, my son is two boys, Tim 11 and Tim 13 and Joey 11, and Tim's turning into a teenager.
Yes.
And so suddenly now my IT knowledge, it was fine at 6 when he was 6. Now at 13, I'm like, flipping heck, I need to up my game just to keep ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You know, just to make sure he doesn't get himself in trouble and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, CEO of the household.
That's right, exactly.
And I like that little bit where you have pay. It says, between the ages of 10 and 18, you pay them. And when you die, you give them whatever is left.
Yeah, whatever's left. Hooray!
So home executives, take heart. You do a much bigger job than you realise.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. I hope people will find your book. Where can we find your book?
Okay, all libraries around Auckland, pretty much. It's available in bookshops. So again, You're Hired, The Essential Guide to Personal Branding and Job Hunting, Tom O'Neill. But yeah, if you're not in your local bookshop, just go in there and ask for it.
Well, thanks, Tom, for coming in. So happy reading, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks so much.